I want to apologize because I'm giving third talk in a row, and it's first experiment in my life. But I try to not make too many mistakes, and there are people, experts in the field, in the room, who can correct me if I'm starting to say some strange things. Anyway, what I'm going to explain. So the title of my talk is Minimizers for Random Lagrangian System, and this will be my main focus. However, I will start a little bit with motivation, because we were interested in minimizers for random Lagrangian system in connection with some quasi-hydrodynamical problems. Not very much hydrodynamical, but anyway, I mean, with, in connection with Burger's equation and similar equations. And I would say that some questions arising, which are natural from hydrodynamical setting, are helping to ask right questions for about random Lagrangian system. So that's why I start with this motivation. Let me just start with Burger's equation. And that is an equation for velocity field u driving. So this is a Burger's equation. So x here, so u is a function on x and t. X is n-dimensional, and I will consider mostly torus case. You can think it's an Rn, but it's important for me, this compact manifold, so let it be n-dimensional torus. And u is a n-vector. So nu is viscosity, and normally people are interested in case when viscosity tends to zero, or just equal to zero, and then you have to say something about in which sense you consider solutions, because there are no strong solutions. And f is a forcing term, and it is assumed to be a gradient of potential. Now, this equation is very connected, very much connected with what physicists would call Kapese equation, Kadar-Parisi-Zank equation. And for us, it is basically parabolic regularization of the Hamiltonic Jacobi equation. So we just write u as a gradient, so you can see the only potential fields, gradient of potential phi, and then in terms of phi you get phi t plus 1/2 gradient phi, gradient is always in terms of x, square plus f x t, f is this potential, is equal to gradient to Laplacian of phi, and this is what is called Kapese equation. But if we take viscosity equal to zero, this is a Hamilton-Jacobi equation. And this, of course, is very much connected with Lagrangian dynamics. Now, what I'm going to discuss is very general setting. In fact, you can consider any compact connected Riemannian manifold instead of a torus, and you can consider basically any Lagrangian system which will perturb and make it random. So the question we want to study is the following. So Lagrangian for this system is given by velocity minus potential. So that's Lagrangian. And Lagrangian will be time dependent. And there is a whole body of theory connected with the study of minimizers for Lagrangian actions, which are autonomous, which doesn't depend on time at all, or have periodic dependence on time. And this is what is called Abri-Mother theory, and everything built up on top of Abri-Mother theory. So it's a big piece of science. Now, very often people are interested in typical behavior, meaning to take typical potential f, which is, as I said, either autonomous or periodically dependent on time, and then say what you can say about optimizing orbits. And then there's the conjecture of Manet, which I don't think is proved yet, that in generic, topologically generic sense, the
minimizing orbit will be periodic orbit, will be hyperbolic periodic orbit. Now, the setting we're taking is slightly different. We're not asking this potential to be periodic, periodically depending on time. It's just some generic function which generically depend on time. Now, it's difficult to formulate what does it mean. So the most natural setting for us is just to say that this f xt is a random process, stationary random process in time. And then saying typical means that you are studying what's going on for typical, this prospective probability measure behavior, with probability one, what's going on in this system. No relation whatsoever. Just look similarly. it was originally introduced. Bürger's equation was originally introduced by Bürger's in connection with Navier-Stokes equation. So Navier-Stokes equation just have minus pressure term here. That's the only difference. But the vector field is divergent free, not a gradient field, right? So dynamics is very different. And it was realized soon that dynamics of Bürger's equation is rather different from Navier-Stokes. However, it is used in hydrodynamics as a kind of, as a model, as a also polygon where you can check certain theories, because many phenomenological theories in hydrodynamics do not deal with equation itself. They don't deal with Navier-Stokes equation per se, for example, Kolmogorov theory. Just general theory, what should be correct for this type of equation when you have interaction between different modes, nonlinearity appears heavily in the system, and this heavily nonlinear equation. And then the hope is that many things which you can check here, you can then check applied to Navier-Stokes. It was not happened yet. So this is a different dynamics provided by Bürger's equation. However, Bürger's equation is connected to a lot of physical problems, different from hydrodynamics. It is connected with, for example, this Kepesi equation. It's equation for the interface growth. So it just describes how interface grows when you put certain things in random order, in random time, and then they accumulate, and then you fill certain interface between field space and empty space. So that's described by this equation. Or Bürger's equation was used with zero viscosity, was used to describe large-scale structures in the universe and cosmology. There are many physical problems which are related to Bürger's equation, but it will take us very far away from what I'm going to discuss. Anyway, so that's the setting. And what we want to have, smooth dependence on X, and we want to have rather random dependent on time. It doesn't matter very much what concrete form of the process with respect of time is here. What we want to have stationary process in time, and that's it. Now, the model I'll consider will be mostly the following model. It is sum of non-random potential, so finite number of some smooth, nice, non-random potential on a torus, times independent white noises, which is a stationary process here. Now, I know that many people don't like white noises and stochastic setting. Here it is the softest point. You basically, all your intuition which you have for normal differential equation will work here. There is no problems with this white noise appearing here. And this is the mildest possible situation where what they call Stratonovich and Itter integral are the same, so it's just mildest possible situation. Basically, it's not stochastic setting, right? If people don't like stochastic setting at all, then they can even use another model when what you're doing is the following. This is the sum, the potential you apply, or force you apply, only discrete moments of time. So this is what is called kicked forcing, that system evolves without any force from time 1 to time 2, and then at time 2 you kick it, and then it again evolves from 2 to 3 without force. You kick it and so on. So formally, you can write it as f I x times delta function of t minus I and sum over all I discrete moments of time, say integer times. So any integer moment of time, you kick your system with potential, which is a smooth function, but you choose from some reservoir of smooth potential randomly, right? So in this setting, you just have space of smooth potentials, and then there is a certain measure on this space, and then every time you independently choose one potential and kick your system. So then there is no stochasticity at all. So there are two models I will consider. But as I said, this white noise is not very much essential for most of what we will see. Okay? Now, those are perturbations on top of any Lagrangian system. So I said it's not essential that concrete form of Lagrangian is this. I mean, I consider basically any Lagrangian system. So the most general setting will be the following. So we have Lagrangian, which is a function on a tangent bundle, and we just ask, put two conditions, that it is superlinear growth in velocities and convexity, convex in velocities. And then everything I say will go through. So what is the setting? What is the equation? So you first discuss, define Hamiltonian, which is of course sum, which is the minimum over the vectors v from tangent vectors v at point x. And then we have just pv minus lxv. So that's a Hamiltonian, which you can define from any Lagrangian system. And your Lagrangian system, you want it to be non-perturbed one, which does depend on time, plus, this is conditions on L0, plus this sum f omega xt. So you can consider any autonomous Lagrangian which just satisfies these two properties and then perturb it with adding minus, subtracting potential f. Then you calculate Hamiltonian, and then equation which you have instead of this Kpz equation will be just Hamilton-Jacobi equation. So it will be phi t plus hx gradient phi t is equal to either 0 or Laplacian of v. So all these kind of equations are connected with minimizers of Lagrangian action, which I want to discuss. Now, connection between the problem of minimizing of Lagrangian action and the equation we consider is through the variational principle, which I'll describe. So variational principle is the following, that if you want to solve, let me stay with Kpz equation, with Hamilton-Jacobi, with this simple, everything goes through for the case, but that's the most general setting. But let me stay with this equation. So we want to solve this equation, phi t plus 1/2 gradient phi square plus fxt is equal to 0. And we want to solve Cauchy problem for this. So c at x and t equal to 0 is given. And so that is a recipe how one can solve this equation. So here is my time. So I want to construct solution at time t. And I started with some function giving a d-ring. This is my x space, which will be torus. So I should have said, of course, that torus means that all these functions fi are periodic. Integer vector is equal to x for any integer vector. So that means that I live on a torus, and that is essential. And they are smooth. Okay, so I want to construct solution at point x at time t. And to do so, I consider all passes on my torus. Pass is a curve depending on time. It's a curve on the torus, gamma. And then for each pass, I have to calculate its action from 0 to t. And that is just integral from 0 to t of the Lagrangian action, gamma dot square minus f on gamma tau dto. This is action of gamma, which is a random, because to calculate it, you have to fix omega. But the thing that omega is fixed. So for fixed omega, we can calculate what will be the action for a given curve gamma. In fact, one can show that minimizer, well, we'll save minimizer in a moment, And then we have to write the following formula. Phi xt is equal to infinum over all possible curves gamma, such that gamma and t is equal to x. And then here we just have this action of the curve gamma plus a little bit of knowledge of the boundary of the initial condition, so phi 0 at gamma 0. And so that's what you want to minimize. And this minimum is exactly give you a solution. That's give you a solution. Now, what solution? Let's call what is called viscosity solution. That is the physical solution for this equation. In principle, this equation does not have strong solutions, but it has plenty of weak solutions. But there is one special weak solution, which is a physical solution, which corresponds to taking limit, putting viscosity times Laplace, and then solution exists and unique, and then taking the limit when viscosity tends to zero. And this limit will satisfy this condition, so this is viscosity solution, and I always will speak about viscosity solution here. Right? So you see how this minimizes appear. Basically, there is one-to-one correspondence with the problem of minimizing Lagrangian action and solving Hamilton-Jacobi KPZ equation with zero viscosity. There is a piece of theory which tells how to deal with the case when viscosity is positive. There is certain variational principle. Well, it will take me away from here, so I'm not discussing. So that thing is viscosity is equal to zero, right? Okay. Now, what we are interested in is not just solving Cauchy problem, but we are interested in stationary property of solution. I mean, because this is a stationary process in time, and then, of course, we expect solution to have certain statistically stationary properties in time. So it means that we want to consider solution of the case for very long interval of time. It is convenient to think that you started at minus infinity. So basically, what you want to consider solutions to this equation from time minus infinity until t. In other words, you want to find solutions which are extendable in the past indefinitely up to minus infinity. And then what you recover after this long process, it will be stationary solution at time t, so stationary in statistical sense. And it requires to take minus infinity here, and of course it also requires to eliminate this term because there is no more initial condition, right? So when we want to consider stationary solution distributions for solution, then we come to a problem of minimizing infinum over gamma, again, which in time t is fixed, position is fixed at some point, of this a minus infinity t gamma of this action from minus infinity to t. So this is infinum Well, it's a standard procedure how to understand the thing, because this is not a number. It's integral from minus infinity to t. So definition here, standard definition, what means a minimizer? Minimizer is a curve which, if you perturb it at a finite interval of time, the action can only increase. So that's the notion of minimizer, which I call one-sided minimizer. One-sided because it goes to infinity in time, but only on one end, and one end point is fixed, and that is one-sided minimizer. In dynamics, it's called sometimes race. It's a race. So it's a curve. So what is the definition? I draw a picture. It's easier to explain in a picture than to write. So this one-sided minimizer is such a curve that if I consider any perturbation of this curve on time, between time t1 and t2, then action for the white thing will be not smaller than the action of the blue thing, and the difference in action between them is already a number because you integrate from t1 to t2. So that's the definition of one-sided minimizer. It's an important definition for me. And we see that if we know, if we have information about behavior of one-sided minimizers, then we can say a lot about the stationary solution, about what is the solution you would get in the limit when t goes to minus infinity. I'll formulate a theorem and then explain it, and this is very soft theorem. Actually, all results which you can obtain using variational principle are very soft results normally. So, I mean, they don't require any serious hard analysis. But there are some hard analysis questions which we'll see later on, but not at this point. Anyway, so the theorem which I want to formulate is the following. First I formulate, maybe then write it down. It turns out that with probability 1, so for almost all omega, there exists only one solution to the Hamilton-Jacobi equation, which is extendable to until minus infinity. Just one solution. I mean, it's not infinite dimensional space, just one solution. Now, I have to correct, and this is what means one solution. Of course, this potential is defined up to a constant, right? So you can always add the constant, and that's triviality. I mean, potential by principle is defined up to a constant. So that's unique solution up to additional constant. Secondly, there is additional structure in this equation, which I haven't discussed at the moment. This is conservation law. In terms of the Burgess equation, the conservation law here is the following, that average u is a constant, does depend on time. So what is average u? It's integral from 0 to 1, integral over the torus, uxt dx. So this average velocity is a constant of motion, doesn't depend on time. If I denote this constant by b, it's a vector, then in terms of this phi, you can see the phis, which are not periodic function on the torus, but it's a linear function plus periodic. So phi, which you can have here, have the following structure. It's b times x plus periodic function psi xt. Right, sort of the function on the torus. It's a periodic one. And so when you fix B, it's just to fix universality class. I mean, it's different B live in different countries. So when I say unique solution, it means for any B, there exists one solution corresponding to that B. And that is how it goes. Now, B can be introduced in a Lagrangian. Basically, you can subtract this B here from gamma dot. It's just drift in the Lagrangian term. So I will mostly consider B equal to zero. But all I'm saying is correct for all b's. Now, why I'm doing so? People who are familiar with Abri-Mather theory know that this b is very essential parameter in Abri-Mather theory, because there is a lot of number theory in connected with Abri-Mather theory. Here, because of randomness potential, plays no role. All results for all b's are the same. It doesn't matter what will be the tilt of your minimizer you consider. For any tilt, behavior will be the same. So b is basically a tilt of minimizer. You have systematic drift of your minimizer, systematic velocity. Okay? So the theorem, which I formulated, and then I will explain it, is the following. With probability 1, for all b in Rn, there exists a unique solution phi xt, solution, let me call global solution to Hamilton-Jacobi equation. And in fact, it's one solution which extends from minus infinity to plus infinity, but you can stop at time t, it will be the same solution, right? Now, this solution has a property of being attractor for the dynamical system corresponding to Hamilton-Jacobi equation. So you can think that this is a kind of evolutionary equation in time, and then the following is correct, that for any psi xt, so if I take any psi, which has nothing to do with psi for the solution, psi on x, consider Cauchy problem. On time interval minus t capital T, with condition phi at minus t is equal to bx plus this psi x. So start with anything you want at time minus t. Then solution which depend on this initial condition will tend to our special solution, to this our special unique solution when t goes to infinity. So if we start, yes. So once again, I said that there exists unique global solution. Let me just write it for a moment, which has a form bx plus psi omega xt. So this is just some special solution, right? So what I'm saying, so what's the question? Yeah. No, I start at minus t with something giving. And then I solve it until time t. No, psi is a periodic function, and this is non-periodic contribution. Psi is a function in the torus. So function, solution, all functions have a linear plus periodic. Okay. Okay. Now, so the, in this sense, it's attractor. So you get attracted to this solution when you start low below, always. So there is extreme stability of this equation. And for this to be true, there are no conditions for the potential Fi, except that they are non-zero. So in this model with white noise, there are basically no conditions for the potential. It's always correct. I mean, it's extremely kind of general result, which is always correct. In a discrete setting, in this kick setting, you have to say a little bit about the kicking forces, but in general case, everything is fine. Huh? Nothing, no condition. It's true. Moreover, the set of full measure is the same set for OB. So it's one set of full measure, and for this set for OB, there is this extreme stability. Now, since it's a variation of principle, just explain why it's correct, but it's not the main again point of what I want to discuss. So, it is correct because of the following reason. Who said again? The proof of the theorem. Yeah, it's a very simple theorem, and I want to explain the proof of it. So basically, you showed that because of the randomness of your interaction, you always have some places, if you go deep in past of your process, you can find some places which we call epsilon narrow places. And this means that, for example, you can think that potential is very weak in this between these two intervals. So it's a long interval of time for which potential is very weak, not have strong interaction. Then, for any two minimizers which go through this thing, you can reconnect them, just linearly reconnect, paying very little price in action. Since interval is long, you have to add very little to velocity to reconnect them, because this size is 1, you're on a torus. And potential is weak, so that's why the integral of the potential part will also be small. So there are always places where you can reconnect paying very cheaply. And that's basically the main observation. And then you just show that, so this epsilon narrow place is for any entry small epsilon, you can find epsilon narrow place. Why? Just imagine that you found interval of the length 1 million at which your potential is very small. So white noises are very small. So this is a smooth function on a torus, so it's bounded. And white noise just small, big fluctuation of the white noise, right? So then, what will be the price you pay for a connection? Well, the price you pay for a connection will be connected with kinetic thing, which comes from the fact that you enlarged your velocity. But you have added very little to velocity because it's a long interval of time and you have to cover one. So it will be small contribution. And then integral of your action, of your potential. But it's again small because the potential is small. So that's why you can do it. There are other mechanisms of epsilon narrow place. For example, in discrete case, you can always say you cannot find such moment. Maybe your potential is never small. So there are other mechanisms, focusing mechanism of having epsilon narrow places. But due to fluctuations, you always have these epsilon narrow places. And then you basically can show that what's going on, that solution to Hamiltonian Jacob equation has the following property, that you have in uniform norm, they're weakly contracting. So it's a general property of this Hamiltonian Jacob equation. Everybody knows who's experiencing field, very soft, saying the following, that if you go from T1 to T2, then and you started with two functions, phi1 and phi2 here, and then you got phi1 bar, phi2 bar on top, then uniform distance between these two, distance between phi1 and phi2 in uniform norm will be less or equal than here. That's in uniform norm, less or equal than phi1 minus phi2. That's a general principle, right? And so additional remark is when you pass through the epsilon narrow place, the distance gets at most epsilon. So if you pass through this epsilon narrow place, then distance between phi1 bar and phi2 bar here will be not more than epsilon. Later on, it cannot increase. But then there will be another narrow place, they get even smaller and smaller. So that's how you prove that there is a convergence for any two solutions. So just two principles. Weak contraction and the fact that when you pass through the epsilon narrow place, then you get closer. Well, I would say later on, okay? But I would say that the theorem is incorrect in non-random case. So if you consider a Abrim other situation, it's not true that it exists one solution. So fluctuations of the action are essential here. So it will take us very far away if I would discuss Abrim other theory in full generality. Yes, the main purpose of what is going on here that many things get simpler and easier and more clear. So that is how the theorem can be proved, but again, that is not the main interest of what I want to discuss. And the main interest is how minimizers look like. Extremals? No, I need minimizers. I need minimizers. Extremals. Okay, the property of minimizers are very, very restrictive. So, okay, let me say something. So minimizer, of course, satisfies Euler Lagrange equation. Any minimizer satisfies Euler Lagrange equation. So gamma dot is equal to V, V dot is equal to minus gradient of F. And this is solution of this Euler Lagrange equation. Now, huge dynamics, it's just Lagrangian flow. Solutions, what you call extremals is just a Lagrangian flow, I mean nothing more than that. Now minimizers are very special trajectories of this Lagrangian flow, and that's the main purpose of my talk. I want to discuss the properties of these trajectories, very special trajectories, which are minimizers. And they have certain hyperbolic properties which are different from the questions if you ask them for typical trajectories of the Lagrangian flow. Okay. So how we can view this special solution phi omega xt? And the way to look at the basically what how you should understand is the following. So take time equal to zero, and I want to say something about phi omega x zero. And what I'm saying is the following, that for almost every point x here, there exists unique minimizer, unique one-sided minimizer. And this function phi omega x0 should be understood as the action of this infinite Lagrangian minimizer. So this is a continuous function. In fact, it's Lipschitz. Lipschitz function with uniform Lipschitz constant, and this Lipschitz function gives you the action of infinitely long Lagrangian minimizers which exist at that point. Now, there are some points where you can have more than one minimizer. Set of such points is discrete or have zero measure in higher dimension, or discrete in dimension one, and those what is called points of shocks. And when I said that hydrodynamic setting allows you to ask right question, it's the following, that it's very interesting from dynamical point of view to see what's going on, what is the dynamics of shocks. So this special solution is constructed by the actions of corresponding minimizers. So the picture is the following, you have this field of minimizers. They do not intersect, and they come here, and their actions give you special solution. In fact, there is another formula, special solution to the Burgers equation, which is just gradient of this phi omega x0, is equal to velocity of the minimizer corresponding to point x at time 0. So velocity, this green curve, this blue curves bring their velocity, and those are solutions to Burgers equation. Their action is a solution of Hamilton-Jacobi equation. Right. Now, question which I want to ask is the following. So let me say a few words more about what physicists would say about it. So basically, when you think about Burgers equation, you think that you started at some moment of time, and you have particles at every point of your torus, or of your circle. And this particle have velocity. It's initial condition of the Burgers equation. Then they start move. And many of them get absorbed by shocks. And some of them get through. Those who get through at time t and bring their velocities and bring solution, those are kind of fluid particles which were not absorbed by shocks. You solve your equation further, and then more and more of them will be absorbed by shocks. And the question you want to ask, I mean, are there any particles which are never absorbed by shocks? What are the dynamics of shocks, how they evolved, and these kind of things. And the very simple statement, almost definition, just very simple statement, the following, that it's based on the important notion of global minimizer. So if you have a blue curve, which should be continued indefinitely, keeping property to be a minimizer, so it means a curve, a red curve, from minus infinity to plus infinity in time. You have the property that for any moment of time, it is a minimizer. So it means that you cannot perturb it. There is no compact perturbation anywhere which can decrease its action. This is called global minimizer. Right? And global minimizers, not necessarily one, but it can be more than one, are exactly particles, fluid particles, which never absorb by shocks. Just one-to-one, to say this global minimizer and this is particle which is not a bad. So what we have, what is the picture we have? We have these red curves and blue curves. And we want to understand what is the connection between them. Okay. And the theorem, which I'll formulate, and this theorem is also general, but it meets some conditions, tells us that global minimizer is unique. There exists only one red curve which is a global minimizer. So there is just one particle which is not absorbed by shocks in any times. So for this theorem, we need to put some condition. And let me formulate it for the case of white noise. So let me assume that a map F1, Fn, n is a finite number of smooth function. They define a map from a torus into Rn, right? So I want to assume that this map is embedding. Which basically means that you have enough of this potential n. Just example. Say n equal to 1, F1 is equal to sine 2 pi x, and F2 is equal to cosine 2 pi x. Well, it's obviously embedding, And that is what I want to have here. Okay, so that will be my standing condition, that it's embedding. So theorem says that for any B with probability 1 exists unique global minimizer. And so let me say a few words about it. So first of all, here we fix B, and then we say what you wonder. I cannot show that there is a set of full measure such that for all B there is, and this probably isn't correct. But anyway, there is one global minimizer, and I want to explain why it is correct and say a few words about hyperbolic properties of this global minimizer, because it's the open question, basically, and I think very interesting. So first of all, maybe a few words about the proof of this fact. Surprisingly, you need kind of, well, you need some conditions, but surprisingly, for the discrete case, there is the condition is even more, is slightly more restricted than in a continuous case, and I would explain why it is surprising. So how you prove that there exists unique minimizer? Consider this function, f omega x0, the special function, which is the action of minimizer going down. In the same way, we can construct a positive function, phi, if we solve our equation to the future. So we can also define function, which will be, say, this is phi minus and this is phi plus omega x0. This thing has a meaning of total action of a minimizer passing through the point x. So the simple statement is the following, that x corresponds to global minimizer if and only if this is a total, this point, say x0, that x0 give a total minimum of this thing over all x belonging to the torus. So what is the situation? You have random Lipschitz function on a compact manifold. Of course you expect it to be not degenerate, so have unique point of maximum, right? Or minimum, sorry. I mean, random functions are not supposed to have two points of minimum, random continuous function. However, it's difficult to prove. And you need to put, well, of course you need to put some condition, because you can think, you can have a situation of some symmetry, which would prevent you. I mean, if there is a symmetry here, then it will be, say, two minimums connected by the symmetry. But basically, if there are no symmetries, you expect it to be always correct. And to prove it, we either need to consider the white noise case, or in a discrete case, we need to consider some additional conditions, but quite natural, but there is some technicalities involved. Basically, we are able to prove this thing in some situation, but not in all situations. Okay. If I would have more time, I would say something about proof. It's quite funny, but maybe not at this point. Now, what about the dynamical picture of what's going on here? And now let me look at the following thing. Let me keep this t equal to 0, and let me now start at large time t and consider all minimizers which originate in all points of the torus at time t. Take all of them. Maybe there are some non-uniqueness points as well. And consider set at time zero, which is which corresponds to all these things. So let me denote this set AT. Maybe PT0 is set of those X on the torus that they exist a minimizer from YT with a property that at time zero it passes through x. So this is points which are reachable but minimizers which originate at time t. It's easy to prove that any limiting point of this set, st
goes to infinity. It's a point of global minimizer. Of global minimizer. It's very easy. In fact, those sets get only smaller. They're decreasing, those sets. They go up, but the sets can only decrease. Why? Because this set will never be reached by points above. This is a shock point. So this set will never be reached. So this set gets smaller, and that's easy to show. So what follows from what I said, since point is unique, it follows that those sets shrink to a single point. So the corollary of the theorem is that diameter of the set BT0 tends to zero when T goes to infinity. So there are less and less points which are reachable. And the question of hyperbolicity of these global minimizing curves, which are solutions to Euler-Lagrange equation, which are trajectory special, which is very special trajectory of the Lagrangian flow. That hyperbolicity would mean that diameter tends to zero exponentially. It is a usual dynamic of hyperbolicity. And that's the last thing which I want to explain. So that's what you want to know in order to build up the theory further. Because at the moment, all we have is a very soft information about convergence. For example, I know that solutions are unique and converge, but I don't know anything about the rate of convergence. Very, very slow. The moment I know hyperbolicity, I would know that all convergence is exponentially fast. So what we have here, the picture in terms of Lagrangian flow is the following. That we have the phase space for Lagrangian flow, which is my torus and velocities. And the red point, and this is, say, at time zero, and the red curve corresponds to some point on this space, velocity and position of the minimizer. And the curve itself in this phase space is just some curve which is perpendicular to the blackboard, right? Also on this curve, on this plane, there are positions and velocities corresponding to one-sided minimizers, to those things. So the picture which you want to prove, and sometimes can prove, is the following. That this special, unique orbit, by the way, this orbit corresponds to invariant measure for the Lagrangian flow, very trivial invariant measure, which sits at that point. Right? Lagrangian flow is a random flow, and it can be viewed as a flow from xv omega, where omega is a probability space, into itself. So it's a random flow. And then this point really corresponds to ergodic invariant measure for Lagrangian flow. Very special ergodic invariant measure. So when I say hyperbolicity, it means that I want to say what are the Lyapunov exponents connected to this with this point. And what are the properties of this Lyapunov exponent. Now, these Lyapunov exponents, which are 2n Lyapunov exponents, and they're split into n non-negative, and then n non-positive. Because of symplectic structure, they're non-random numbers. This probability one, this is a number, this constant, because it's ergodic invariant measure. So question I'm asking is really, is it true that there are n of them which are positive and n of them which are negative? And if we're able to prove that diameter tends to zero exponentially, then we're done, then it's hyperbolicity. And then what will follow, if you know hyperbolicity, is that there is a stable manifold, an unstable manifold. So this is actually, this is unstable manifold corresponding to this hyperbolic point. And this consists of x and v, positions and velocities, such that if we solve our equation in minus t time, they would approach the red curve. So then it means that all blue curves, you can show that they're asymptotic to red curve, and then all blue curves, points corresponding to blue curves, lie on this stable manifold. But of course, they cannot because stable manifold has complicated structure, it has some zigzags, so it's just the following thing. And those are points where you have shocks. So that will be the picture which you want to prove and which you want to have. And unfortunately, at the moment, the situation is the following, that we can prove this statement only in the one-dimensional case. In one-dimensional case, one can really prove that this unique minimizer is a hyperbolic orbit, and everything I said is correct. There is a smooth manifold passing through it, there is a structure of shocks, which are points corresponding to non-uniqueness points, and everything is fine, and you can describe everything in full detail. And the main outstanding problem in all this thing is to show that hyperbolicity holds in any dimension under the same condition in this. If you have uniqueness of global minimizer, it should be hyperbolic curve. Okay. Now, if I have 3 minutes, I just explain one thing. Well, maybe not. I want to explain one idea here, why in one-dimensional case you are able to prove hyperbolicity, and in multi-dimensional case it's difficult. And then I will finish. So, in one-dimensional case, you want to look at this set BT. So, set of points which are reachable by the minimizers which start at time T. So, this is a circle. It's one-dimensional case. And this is another circle. And as I said, there are shocks. So for example, this is a shock. And creates an interval here of forbidden point. None of this point will be reached if you start above that. They are all forbidden. They're just kind of dead. So the whole of BT is outside of the thing. So let me draw this picture. Time zero. This is a picture of a circle. And then there is this forbidden set, which corresponds to shock. And this set, maybe some pieces of it is forbidden, some pieces are not. I don't know. Right? So I want to show that this there is a mechanism which makes this allowed set twice smaller after constant time. So what I'll do? Let me divide it by two. Just divide it by two equal parts. So I get 2 points. And then let me take pre-images of this point here, meaning minimizers which come to those 2 points. Well, you say, what is it? It's forbidden. Now, all this interval corresponds to 1 point. So one of them will be that one. And another will be, say, some other point here, corresponding to another. So I get 2 points at time t. Now, what's going on this time t? These 2 points form 2 segments, 2 arcs here, and one of them, at least one of them, is big. Right? So imagine now that above T, now position of this arc are measurable with respect to our forces below T. They don't know anything about future. Now create force which forces your minimizer to end up here. So between T plus constant and T, I want to create force which focuses all minimizers in this part, in the big part. I cannot focus in the small part. That's not allowed. And this part can be very small. But one of them is big. And I always can focus things in this thing. It will mean that if I start here, I would reach only that part. And means that I would reach only half of these 2 things. So these things get twice smaller. And this happens as positive probability. Maybe I was not able to find this event now. Well, no, never mind. I'll wait another constant time. Since it's positive probability, it will happen, and thing will shrink twice. And then again, the new piece I also will divide by 2 and keep going. And this is a Markovian mechanism which brings you to hyperbolicity. Hyperbolicity of this very special orbit, of this hyperbolic orbit of global minimizer. Unfortunately, in a multidimensional situation, what you can prove that this set tends to zero, the area of it tends to zero exponentially fast. But it can have very funny shapes. It can have very complicated geometry. And so we are not able to prove that diameter tends to zero. So I believe it's a very important problem. And if one proves this problem, there are many, many results which at the moment exist on a physical level, but they will be completely rigorous mathematical results the moment you prove hyperbolicity multidimensional case. Those results are connected with a global structure of shocks in a multidimensional situation, which I don't have time to discuss. How to recognize this point, right? This is a very difficult thing because, in fact, this point is not measurable with respect of past. It's measurable with respect of the whole thing. You have to know past and future. So, but you can have very good information about it by just looking at, starting at time t, and then this domain A, it will be exponentially small. So you can localize it exponentially with exponential... It's not just a question of velocity profile. There is no actual velocity profile. You have to give me forces. You have to mean potential profile, and not real. Zero forces?
Yeah.
No, what I'm saying is not correct when there are zero forces. If there are no forces, there is no embedding. This is the difference between the elliptic situation. When you have zero forces, you approach zero. Your solution tends to zero, but only algebraically. It's not it's elliptic situation, it's not hyperbolic. To get hyperbolicity, you have to have non-trivial Lagrangian dynamics. Only then they have hyperbolicity. Non-random situation. Okay. So, non-random situation, the easiest thing which people normally consider corresponds to kicked case. And when you kick with the same function all the time, periodically. So that's what is called Frenkel-Kontrova model, which was discussed here several times. And that is the following Lagrangian action. Well, this is a periodic function. It is one-dimensional, say, yes. But you can consider it in multidimensional situation as well. So it will be the similar thing. What I'm discussing is when this depends on n and is random. But otherwise, this is Frenkel-Kontrova model. And then structure of minimizing orbits is very, very complicated and depends strongly on the size of nonlinear term of potential. It depends strongly on this A. And for some A, you have irrational slope, you have irrational slope, and for some A you have rational periodic orbits, and that is a very complicated structure. That's connected with the destruction of invariant curves and many other things. It is never only when A is equal to zero, minimizer is unique. When A is equal to zero, of course, minimizer just sits in a minimum of this potential F, just one trajectory which sits in potential A. But otherwise, it's normally non-unique minimizer. And global minimizer is non-unique, and it's just a slight, it's a different situation. No. It's, people who look at the Abri-Mader theory, as far as I know, were not interested in structure of shocks and questions like that. So those shocks are here. I mean, they appear, just not look at this this way. There are questions. I think the most important unsolved question for normal Abri-Mader theory is connected to what I ask here. The question is the following. When you go through transition, when the curve is destructed, I mean, there is no many more curve, immediately the global minimizer starts to be hyperbolic orbit of the Lagrangian flow. So this transition curve contradictory is transition from elliptic to hyperbolic situation. And this is not proved, and everybody expects it to be correct. Now, what I'm asking here is a similar question, but there is no transition. There is always hyperbolicity. There is no elliptic behavior here when I'm in my situation. But still, we are able to prove, and we are able to prove hyperbolicity, but only in dimension one. Even in dimension one, it's some sort of thing for Brie Mather, that there is a hyperbolicity immediately after transition. So, certain things are similar, certain things are different, but generic questions, looking generically, you can answer many things.
Question again.